So I did two multi-person. So we'll do better change. Go through a few different random shilas from across the board on different topics. Try and keep things more interesting. First shayla is, sorry, the shayla. These are all recent shaylas that came from the last week. So on the shayla just last week, the shayla of Geneva, interesting shayla. Sometimes people are unaware how you can enter dangerous territory with Geneva very easily. This person was offered to buy a property by an agent. The agent was paid by the moicha, by the owner. The owner employed Mr. A, said, please sell my property for me, get the best price you can. So Mr. A puts on the market, and this year decided, looks like a good investment, he's going to buy his property. How much is the property going for? I don't know, let's say it was £150,000. The year looks at the property, decides it's pretty good, calls up the agent, says to the agent, I'm happy to take the property, can't think of 150. Happy to take the property for 120. Great. He said to the agent, if you manage to get this a little bit cheaper for me, I'll make sure it's worth it for you.
Backhander.
Sorry?
Backhander.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways to please you. Bottle of blue label, lots of different ideas. If you get it for me, I'm happy to pay 120, get it for me a bit cheaper and we'll massage design the nyonim. The agent comes back to him and says to him, spoke to the owner. The owner's happy to give it to you for 180 and 2,000 for me. That way everyone's happy. You were happy to be 120 and I even got a few cheaper. But it's still going to cost you 120 because 2,000 for me, 180 for the owner. You're happy, I'm happy, he's happy. Let's call it a day. What's the shayla here? Shayla is the minute the yid told the agent that I'm happy to be 120. So the agent knows that this property is worth 120. He's happy to be 120. And he can get 120 off him. The agent is employed by the balabos, by the owner, to fetch the best price for him. The best price being 120. Had he cut the agent down and gone straight to the balabos wouldn't have said to him, 180, 120. The agent siphoned off £2,000 for himself from the price that the agent, that the seller could have got. Is there any way to make this mutter? So he asked around various batidinim, various rabbonim, and it was very difficult to find a way out of him, because once you tell the agent that you're willing to pay 120, and the agent takes some of that, he's clearly helping the agent steal from the balabos. Which really brings the whole world of kickbacks. When someone is an agent, he's a property management, and he finds any company to clean, paint, plumber, whatever it is, and they say to you, you use me, I'll give you £50. That £50 is coming from the owner. When they send an invoice, it says something £400, they send £450. And £50 they give back to you. Which means every time you get a kickback, often, not every time, often, it'll be claimed from the owner. So you have an owner, owns properties, calls you and says, can you manage them for me? Sure, I can manage them for you. You as a managing agent now go and get, I don't know, an electrician, and he does a big job on the property, and he's telling him, by the way, I want a kickback, I want £100 from you. The £100 he's not pulling out of his own pocket, he's taking it from the owner. Which means every time you get a kickback, it could very likely belong to the owner rather than to the agent. You'll always be aware with these cases, kind of be a shayla of Geneva. Okay, so that was one interesting shayla that came up this week. Going from Chosh Mishpat to Aruch Chaim, completely different topic. I was speaking in a school about Pastor Bob Kisnan, and a boy asked an interesting shayla. We know about what Bekesnen is, there's three ways to make something from a moitzi to mezainus. Either you fill it, you have a homendashen, which is filled with chocolate, kochen, rogelach, filled with chocolate, cinnamon, or you change the flavor of the item, putting in fruit juice or cocoa, like a chocolate cake, it's not filled, because you can't find anything in the cake, but the whole cake is flavored, Or the last thing is it cracks. Pretzels and crackers crack. What else be mezuzahs? Yeah, so frag is really a whole different sugya. Not pass by kissing where it's not got didn't pass at all. We'll discuss that in the case of a different shayla. But these are the three ways that to be missing into mezuzahs. So we know the first mahalach is fill it. You have a dough, you put in the chocolate drops and cocoa, whatever it is, you roll it up, it now becomes cooking a roglach. Great. How much chocolate do you need to put inside this mezuzahs? For example, I make a big dough and I put inside one chocolate drop, just one. It's mavola, it's filled. How much do you put in? So, the shayla really can take on different dimensions. For example, you get sometimes kochon, these big roglach, these big cakes, big rolled up cakes, and it depends who made it. But sometimes you can get a slice, great, tastes great. You get to the end, doesn't always have cocoa and chocolate. The end could basically be a piece of dough, just plain, you get the last piece. Now that piece there which you cut, which depends what you do with it, depends who you give it to, normally you give it to someone else. That piece, what brach is that? Is that mezuzahs? Because it's part of a big dough. And if you say yes, so you can stretch the shayla and make it even more. You've got regular kuchen you're making, and you've got a challah you're making. You stick the two together and bake it. Here's my challah, here's my kuchen, and I connect them in the middle. Does the challah become mezuzahs now? Say, no, that not. That's too far-fetched. It can't be, it's not mamula. I had stuck together this one long log now. Yeah, but it's different. Once you say that's different, what about the ends of the kuchen? What about this case this boy had, where you have... So Mishmur does say...
Sweetness
has
gone into the kuchen.
Sorry?
Sweetness of the chocolate inside, it's got inside the kuchen. I shake the challah, it's not been...
How far does it go?
Yeah, it's in. What's it's in? It's in.
Here's my kuchen, here's the ends. The ends have no cocoa in it. It's one thing. So the challah is another thing. How?
Yeah, but sweeten up the cotton dough has been sweetened.
No, let's say it hasn't. It's just regular dough, but you put cocoa in. To make it into a cinnamon, whatever it is. So then, what happens to the ends? You get sometimes these like breads filled with chocolate drops or raisins. And you are unlucky enough to get a slice that has no chocolate drops and no raisins in. This little corner I eat. What happens to that? Part of it. So then when you join the two together and bake it, you get this long dust. How fast? So that's the point. Whenever you define something very clearly, it's very hard to know at which point it starts, which point it stops. Now the Mishmur does say that Mishmur says when you eat this thing, what's the taste of? It tastes sweet. This chocolate, cocoa, sugar, cinnamon, whatever you put inside affects the overall taste. Finally comes the mezuzahs. You could be medayik in that. It's got to actually affect the taste in every bit I eat. If you eat a piece that doesn't affect the taste, the end of the kochot, maybe not. Maybe not. Don't want to give a clear answer here, because some bakeries take you get to the end and it's not always so well flavored. But the idea is to be aware that maybe there is a possibility here that maybe the brach could change mid achila, in the middle of going through this item. Could be it changes at that point. He mentioned before about donuts. Donuts is an interesting one because donuts really is not Pasuk Baba Kisnin. Pasuk Baba Kisnin, the Gemara says, mezuzahs. What are three Pasuk Baba Kisnins? Either filled or sweet, or it's going to be that it's always going to be, oh, it cracks. Why is donuts mezuzahs? Hot, it's fried. So why is fried mezuzahs? It's not flavored, it's not anything. Oh, the answer is, the Gemara says, there's certain ways to bake or cook, there's certain ways which are strange. For example, Bishul Bechama. On Shabbos, you take a potato, you put it out in the sun, and it bakes. That is perfectly mutter to do on Shabbos. Maybe a shayla of noilet, but really, because bishul is perfectly mutter, you want to have fresh potatoes every Shabbos, or a scrambled egg, you put it out in the sun, it bakes in the sun, no problem at all, mutter to do on Shabbos. Ah, you cooked it. No, bishul, but chamo is not called bishul. Once you cook in the sun, it's not called bishul. You've got to be aware, because told us chamo is asa. That means if you put a potato in water, put that in the sun, and the water gets hot, and the water cooks the potato, that's a problem. Because if it's a told of chamo, you heat it through something that was heated in the sun, you've got a boiling hot roof. You spill an egg on it, and it fries, it scrambles from the heat of the roof, that's a problem. It's told us chamo. The sun heated the roof now cooked the egg, that's told us chamo. If you had put it on a cold surface, and the egg would scramble just from the heat of the sun, that is bishul b'chamo, as mutter to do on Shabbos. Why? It's not bishul, it's not called baked. I remember in school we get taught as little children that the Yidman have a tzrayim with a dough on the back and a baked on the back, which is extremely difficult to understand because the intense heat to bake dough, to challahs, to bread, to matzah, is very, very hard to understand how they walked in that, especially because our tellers, Hashem took it out a pleasant time. Now people have to know, so you have to realize that this shit that they're baked in the sun is targum yonism in the zeal. But really, it's not mainstream. Most Rishonim take out, they didn't. They baked it themselves in an oven. Machloek is where they baked it. They didn't bake on their backs. Targum Yerushim and Zil says they baked on their backs, which is a big chiddush. Frankim Chaim Kuneski, if it's Bishul Bechamo, it's not bread. It's not Derech Bishul. It's not called baked. So it's not called bread. It's not Hamoitzi. It's definitely not Matzah. It's not Chayv and Challah. You can't make Alachilis Matzah on it. You know he's a Seizin over there. So the whole Makur that they had Matzahs comes from a situation where Bishul Bechamo and wasn't even got Adin Afiyah, Adin Lechem. Bela. So Rav Chaim was a whole shekel there to try and answer it. It was hot from Eish, a whole shekel there. But really the idea is that there's no such thing as Bishul Bechamo. Bishul Bechamo is not called cooked, it's not called baked, it's something else completely. Donuts is similar. Why is that similar? Because the Gemara says as well, when you fry bread, frying bread is not normal. It's not a normal way to do it. You take a dough, you bake it. When you fry a bread or cook a bread, you put it in water and oil, anytime you immerse it in liquid and you don't put it in an oven is like a hot environment that makes the bread, makes it rise. When you put it into, submerge it in a liquid and it cooks like that, it's not a normal way to do it. What is not a normal way to do it? It can't be a moitzi. It has downgraded the Muslim to a lower level. With that in mind, the bishul v'chama is not called a proper bishul. And bishul b'chama on Shabbos is going to be mutter mitzad bishul. What happens if I, Shabbos afternoon, I'm a bit bored, I take my potato and I cook it in the sun, boiling hot sun, cook it in the sun, great. Now we know there's a klal in Hilchos Shabbos. Ein bishul acha bishul. Once it's cooked, you have your potato, it's cooked. You want to now heat it up, put it into your, on top of your chalam pot. No problem, ein bishul acha bishul. You can't re-cook something. It's cooked, it's cooked. If you're going to tell me bishul b'chama is not called bishul, can I now take this potato and heat it up again on Shabbos? It's raw. It's raw, it's soft, you can eat it. You're right, you can eat it. Technically, physically, it's called cooked. Halachically, it's not called cooked. If it's not called cooked, I can now can't cook on Shabbos. This shal is extremely negar to many people. Now, you all think bishul b'chama, who's bishul b'chama? The answer is there is another method of cooking, which is quite popular. And this is also not called bishul. And that is our good old friend, the microwave. A microwave is not heat. There's no heat in a microwave. You put your hand in the microwave, well, you won't be able to put your hand in the microwave, but really, it doesn't heat it up. It's the microwaves that go through the air and heat the, and make the liquid move with friction, and it heats it up. If it's not called bishul, many points, including Rav Moshe has a famous truth about the way he says, a microwave is not called bishul. A microwave is not called bishul. So if you would cook in a microwave, which is not so many cooking in a microwave, but sometimes people, the simple way on the packet, it says when you buy your noodles to put in your soup, put it in the microwave with some water, and it'll cook it in a minute or 2 minutes, very easy, these noodles are very soft. And you take the noodles, put it in the microwave, cook for a minute, take it out for Shabbos, drain it, leave it on the side, great, comes Shabbos, you put it in the soup, or you heat it up on top of a pot, it could be bushel.
Cooking it in water,
ooh, that's a good one. Okay, good point. Fine, you have your backup to our friend the potato. You, for some reason, you heat up a potato in a microwave, you cook it in a microwave. I don't know how.
Baked potato in a microwave.
Is it bishul acha bishul on Shabbos? So now reheat this. Good child. If you say it's like bishul b'chama is not called bishul. So there is a machloek as a poiskim about this. Rav Moshe Tanya talks about this in his tshuva about microwaves. There's a famous Egli Tal about it. And there are other points as well to discuss it. The others want to say, even though bishul b'chama is so strange, it's not a normal way to cook, and therefore you're allowed to cook on Shabbos in the sun. And if you do cook in the sun, bread, for example, of the matzah come out of Mitzrayim, it's not got a din of pas. And our donuts cooked in liquid have not got a din of pas, they're not bread, it's something else completely. However, it still has a din of mevushel now that it's done. So you take your potato and cook on Shabbos, no problem. But now that you did it was mutter. This bishul is a strange bishul, but it's still bishul. It's called bishul b'chama. It's a strange way to cook, but you've cooked. It's like cooking with a shinoi. That's what some want to say, whereas others say, and say, no, it's not God in bishul. It gets very nuanced when you start playing around with what's called bishul acha bishul. For example, someone asked me the other day, can you make toast on Shabbos? I said, sure, toast, perfectly mutter to make on Shabbos. He looked at me, if I'm crazy, what's the problem? You take bread, it's baked. Ain't a fair chafir. I now rebake it on Shabbos. I've gone from bread to toast. Why have I done wrong? So I take my bread, my toast is ready on for Shabbos, I'm very firm, don't worry, I don't put on the Shabbos, and I slip the bread in. Is there any problem? Sorry? I put it without touching the toaster. Or I take my bread and I put it on top of the blech. In a way, which is mutter. Is it mutter to make toast on Shabbos? Now, it sounds like a funny question because everything's for sure you can't make toast on Shabbos. Ramosha writes that a toaster is not chayv in tevila. Why is it chayv in tevila? Because Ramosha says, what does a toaster do? It's ready baked, or it bakes again. It does nothing. A toaster does nothing to the bread. It brings a stronger afia. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't change it from raw to edible. It doesn't present it on the table in a certain way. It doesn't do anything. Ramosha says, Allah l'maisa, you do not tevila toaster. Now, according to Ramosha, clearly saying that if it's enafiyah chafiyah, so according to Ramosha, you don't totally toast it and then toast on Shabbos. It goes together. It hasn't. Now, the toaster, people after want to know, what do you do with the toaster? All the points in Machalik Ramosha, you do totally toaster. The point you can even make a bracha because Ramosha's, people with Mamish don't go to Ramosha. But the idea is, if enafiyah chafiyah, so once it's baked, it's here as well, Ebishlach Abishal, what's the Bishal? Is the original Bishal? Is there a new Bishal? What's the Bishal Bachamo? How does it work? It gets very complicated when you work it through and realize there are many different dynamics to the Shaila with the Bishal and the Afiyah. So that's why it's a back to our donuts, the donuts as well. Why is it God did Mazonis donuts? How many Pasma Bekissim, you know, can become bread? You come home and you've got your chocolate cake, your kuchen, and you go to a Kiddush Shabbos morning, you're really hungry. It's been a long davening, depends where you davened. You come to Kiddush, buy bread often, buy many Mazonis, off you go. You now trudge through 20 minutes intense. At the end of that, you've got a bench hazan. You're now full. Because Pasma Bekissim is only downgraded because it's sweet, it's a snack. Upgraded by eating a whole meal. How about you see? But donut, something fried, will never be hamotzi. Because since it's not derech bishul, derech hafiyah is not the way you do bread, it takes on a whole different type of product, and will never become hamotzi. Why? Because it's got din of bishul, not hafiyah. Is it a strange way? So it's a bishul b'chama, which is the matzahs, and making our toast on Shabbos, which l'chayra feels should be mutter. Now, I'm not advocating anyone should make toast on Shabbos, but the idea is an interesting idea. There is the problem making a toast on Shabbos. L'chayra is mutter to make a toast on Shabbos. If you're doing it in a way, we're not touching the toast or whatever. And some people make toast on Shabbos, they take the challah, you put it onto a pot which is low, there's a flavour in the plech, hot plech, whatever it is, and the bottom of the challah gets burnt. You've changed the bottom of your challah to toast. How's that? What's going on? No problem. So too, you'd make regular toast. The challah appears to be water, and that's Ramosha's trouble with the tevila, which proves that a toaster doesn't really do anything.
You can start crackers and cake together to make it.
Yeah, any Passover kistin will join. Not only that, Mahavram says other things. So you have cake, a chalon, and hagichlech, and with that you have other stuff. Chalon kugel, it could be with joint. So Rosh Hashanah says cake and chalon is not a shidduch, it doesn't go together, so if it doesn't fill you up. But that's already a question. But if you would eat tuna and salad and crackers, yeah, it would all join together for Bas Baba Kisdin to make a hazon at the end, and originally you should have made a moitzi, which he didn't.
Make
a moitzi
on French toast.
Yes,
yeah,
I have one.
You take, well,
French toast,
okay.
Yeah, French toast.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, it depends on different factors. It depends on different things. Okay, we're gonna leave that. It's gonna be complicated. I want to move on to the next challah we had here. We discussed two weeks ago in the evening about Frashas challah. People weren't so aware about it, and we discussed there how the minute you take a dough and you split it either for two different people, I mean challahs, I can't do the challahs. I'm just me and my wife, my kids will live in town. So I divide up my married children, my brother-in-laws, my cousins. Then, the Menchus Yitzchak and others say, there's no Chiv Challah, because they go with the Gon, they go with the Gon who says that there's two people. The Chiv Challah is split. Just like we know, if you make a dough and you put chocolate on some and cinnamon on the other, the Chiv Challah goes because you split the dough. It's also the Challah, you're different to Noim, you have Das when you made it. But the minute you make a dough, and it's not used to the same person, the same people, the same flavor, the same product, the same anything, the Afrosh's Challah likely disappears. Oh, very good. The Mishnah talks about Nachtoim. Why is the Nachtoim Chayv? The Nachtoim Chayv, there's two reasons in the Rishonim, either because he might keep it for himself, or because someone might buy a whole Shia. But if you know I'm going to split it, there's no chiv challah. But we did say you should always take challah without bracha, because many times it's subject to machalikus.
Your frashas challah, no. You just don't want to eat so much, but you made the dough.
By which case?
When you divide it out with children.
No, so if it's made lechalik, you made hadas, I'm going to split it up, then...
Even though it's your dough?
Yeah, even though it's your dough. It's made to split. Unless you're a nachtim. Nachtim's different. Now, we said you should always say lechalik habrachas, there is a machlekas, what's called lechalik, what's called das, when do you have the das, who are you giving out to, would you change your mind? It's subject to many different points. But in principle, the minute you have a dough, which is a full sheh chala, we know it's going to be a sheh v'chala, and you start splitting up for different people, different products, you make chalas, some sesame, some poppy, it can all, everything could be, could affect the chiv chala. Someone wanted to know this week, they're making chalas for sheva brachas. So here as well, I'm inviting 100 guests to my sheva brachas, I make loads of chalas, I'm splitting up, it's going to this, oh, it's one sudha? Right, because we also want to point out, I think this is the answer, that when I make a sheva brachas in my house, I make a bristol, that I make a simcha, and I invite loads of people, it's all my chalas. I'm feeding you my chalas and I want everyone to join in my simcha. So in that case, it wouldn't have a din of us in the chalik, because there it's all used for one purpose. Yes, yeah, well, I told the person, I think it's regular. Chiv chal is such a case. When it comes to shlachmanas, the case of minchas yisrael shlachmanas, always says talk about Shabbos, you want to give out to your kids, or to your brother-in-laws, or to your parents, or whatever you're giving out to, then I'm giving you a chalik, do you like, eat it, or often throw it out when no one's looking, because you don't like other people's stuff. So then, it's not mine anymore, I'm giving it to you, it's yours. You take this challah, you go to a woman, Harry Magadesh, it works, it's yours. But when I make a suda and I invite you to my house, then it has a din of one baked dough. Sorry? Also, it's all of the meat, I'm inviting you as my guest.
You know, well, that sometimes you say, I'm going to freeze for my kids. They won't take it. Then you mixed up with it,
don't you? Oh, so that's why it's a sofek. Because you don't know if you're going to give it to them, they'll give it back to you, don't know. So that's why it's always a challah abrach. In principle, if you know you're giving it out, and they're going to take it, then there'll be no chiv challah.
Can somebody else make a brach on your challah?
You mean where there's a regular chiv and a regular situation?
You make a
chiv. Sure. You make a big batch of dough. You can give it to someone else.
You can ask
them
just make a brach.
Yeah, Mashores can do it. Yeah, and you can give over a brach. It's a silly thing to do because you're a mitzvah. And they make up mezuzahs. They build a mezuzah and they offer it to someone else.
Right.
It's very nice, but it's a shame to start giving the gemara. You pay for someone else's mitzvah. Why would you want to give away? I don't know. But if you want to give away, yeah, you can give away.
So if you people make shavuot together, there's no chiyuv shavuot. There's no chiyuv shavuot.
So that's a very good shayla. Me and you make shayla together, and I make less than a shayla, you make less than a shayla. Let's talk about that case first. And we put it together in a big box and bring it to the hall. Now there, it could be there's a chiv challah, because together it's all joined together for the same purpose, and it's already mine or yours, it's going to be now for the share of brachas, and everyone's eating with one big suda together, and the two doughs are now joined. That is the problem, it's true, someone used to have the bris kemach, used to make brisim for people, and everyone used to make a kilo of challahs, and they collect them all together, put it all in one big bag, and now it joined to a chiv challah. And they weren't aware of it, it went on for a long time, people didn't realize, you have to eat challah, it's sort of mucham, you can't even eat that afrosh. We were joined together for chiv challah. Another shayla someone was married yesterday. Often on Shabbos, we all make sure to have very clean houses. And so we tidy up anything what falls on the floor, the table, after the meal. We tidy up. What's the head to tidy up? You've got empty bowl of challah, plat, is it disposable, empty packet, what's the head to? So the famous head, everyone will tell you, graph shorei. It looks awful. Come to a house and there's an empty challah bowl, plastic challah bowl, after a kiddush, or so it looks disgusting, it looks horrible, take away, no problem. Problem is, you get to things which could be very tight, and very close to yes or no. For example, the difference between a full packet of crisp and an empty packet of crisp, from the outside, it's not very, okay, they come half empty. But even if you get a packet of crisp, and you put it back into shape, you leave it on the table, or a can, people pick up a can, they see what's in the can, is anything in the can? So as long as there's food in the can, no problem, someone walks in the bottle to the drink. But at the minute it's empty, why is it a graf shorei? A minute ago there was a little bit of coke left at the bottom of the can. That's not good. It's fine. So it's not a terrible thing to have around. The minute the can's empty, ooh, now it looks terrible. So it doesn't look terrible. It doesn't look terrible that it's muksa. Why are you allowed to move it? Empty packet of crisp on the clean table, one packet of crisp. And it's empty. You took out that tiny amount you put inside, and now it's empty. Suddenly it's a graf shorei. Empty sweet wrapper. So a tissue, yeah, you can say a tissue is something that's not. You come to someone's house. Sorry?
That's rubbish. It's not rubbish. It looks
horrible. No, but the head of rubbish is because it doesn't look pleasant. An empty bag of crisp doesn't look less pleasant. It's empty.
Of course it does.
Psychologically, it's
Oh, psychologically. Because if you feel like, ugh, I will get rid of it. But if I walk into your house, a pan of crisps on the table, and I can't tell if it's empty or full. People, they do it like this. When they go past the cigarette box on the floor, they step on it, check if there's any cigarettes. Oh, mazel tov, I found a cigarette left in the box. What's the difference between empty and full? Nothing. As long as it's not crushed down, there's no real difference. So why are you allowed to now take this and chuck it in a plastic cup on the table? It's been used. I gave me a plastic cup, take a look. Fine, bad example. Empty packet.
The can's open. Open can or closed can.
Yeah, but when it's open and there's Coke inside, you'll say, that's not, I mean, that's also grabbed away. I mean, that would also be that. So the owners want to say that it could be...
You can see the difference. One's flat, one's not.
This is not like, yeah, Chris, very carefully. It's not. Empty box of biscuits. I don't know. Empty box of biscuits. Empty bag of rogelach. It looks like a paper bag now. What? So the others want to say a different heter. Not Graf Shorey. The others want to say, what's the heter? Heter is, it's a very good clean. An empty bag of crisps could be used. Now, no one would ever put anything inside an empty bag of crisps. No one uses it. But that's because we're very wealthy. We're all millionaires today. We can take a bag of crisps and chuck it in the bin. Wow, amazing. But in principle, really, strictly speaking, you go back to the date packet of crisp. It's nothing wrong putting something inside. You wouldn't, but you could. So therefore, they want a tiny that hasn't lost its shame clean. It's still got it clean. This bag was a bag. It is a bag. It always will be a bag. It did have crisp in. Now you can put something else in it. You may not, because we are beyond the financial point where we need to use such an item. But it is. Rav Shambach used to say, but if you have a plastic plate, he said, no, it's never muksa. Empty charnel bowl, you can reuse it. You don't want to reuse it, lucky you. You can afford a new one. You're very lucky. There's nothing wrong with the plates. Wash it up and reuse it. You wash it up 1,000 times, it won't affect the plates. You don't need to. Very nice. Emily was a bach and she was very wealthy. And every night he took off his socks, put them in the bin. So what did we do? We took it back? No. Why should we wash it? Why should bother washing it? I'm going to check out. Now these socks suddenly have become muksa. They're not muksa. They're very good socks. You can afford to check out. That's great. I can afford to check out a plastic bowl. I'm very wealthy. I finish my journal and it goes in the bin. But the bowl's still a bowl. The bag of crisps still a very good bag. When comes the shayla, if you take a bag of crisps and rip the whole thing open, as people generally sometimes do on Shabbos to avoid any shaylas of Korea, when it's makalka, they rip open, then you can't reuse it. But then you can even more of a stronger tendency to say, it's graf shorei, it's a ripped bag of crisps, that looks worse. So that would be the two ways to go about the bag of crisps. Either it's ripped, or you can say, in prison, I could reuse it. Okay.
Go ahead.